I'll just repeat the final words of that passage from verse 18. Jesus came and said to the 11 apostles, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." What did we say a fortnight ago about this passage? The Lord Jesus commands and sends his apostles to go and make disciples. And this short series on the Great Commission is all about the making of disciples. We do not seek only, and the Lord does not seek only, to make quick converts, people that we can boast about perhaps and say, well, so many were saved, so many made a commitment, so many came forward, so many were baptized. We looked last week at the subject of baptism and of coming into the Church of Jesus Christ. But I want today to think particularly about this matter again of disciples. What is a disciple? The answer is, a disciple is someone who is taught by Jesus Christ. Someone like Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, who sits at the feet of Jesus to learn and goes on learning and never stops learning. Now I want to take as my 3 points this morning, starting with a fairly short phrase that the Sunday school teachers will know all about, and then expanding it as we go through from point to point, with apologies to whoever produces this material. My first point is, go teach. Go teach. That's what Jesus tells the church to do. And in instructing his disciples to teach, Jesus was doing exactly what he had been doing in his own ministry. Jesus was forever teaching people. How many times in the Gospels is Jesus referred to and addressed as teacher? Teacher. Didaskale. The didactic one in the Greek. We want you to teach us. And then we see that same command being reproduced and repeated again and again in the remainder of the New Testament in terms of the church's authority under Christ to go and teach. We see it particularly in the pastoral epistles. Paul says to Timothy, an elder must be able to teach. Timothy's role, says Paul, is command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. And likewise, Paul says to Titus and the other pastoral epistles, he says, as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. And Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, what you have heard from me, Timothy, entrust to faithful teachers who will themselves be able to train others. There is a handing on of a baton through four and more generations of the teaching ministry that's been received from Jesus Christ himself. So what do we take from this? Christians are to be taught. Disciples are those who are taught. A healthy body enjoys, has an appetite for healthy exercise. A healthy body has an appetite for healthy food and drink. And in the same way, a healthy mind has a healthy appetite for knowledge and understanding of the very best kind. Young children, their minds are learning and increasing in knowledge at a remarkable rapid rate. But we're all learning. And if the desire to learn, the appetite to learn, is weak, then something is unhealthy about us. Let me be honest about our own varying experiences. One of the great downfalls and tragedies of the British education system, historically, it seems to me, I'm going back a few generations, or maybe not so long as that, but I think historically, there's been a tendency on the part of some teachers to discourage learning by saying things like, you'll never be good at this. Your ability is so poor, you'll never learn. You're no good at this subject. You'll never improve. That kind of thing has been said, maybe not nowadays, but in days gone by certain teachers in schools. Well, that is not a biblical way at all. The biblical way is the total opposite. The biblical way is to say, you should know more, and you must know more, and you will know more, because you can know more as you learn. You think of the writer to the Hebrews. He tells off the Hebrews. He says, by now you should be teachers. You should be teachers by this stage. But you need someone to teach you again the elementary principles, the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. You should be on solid food, but you're still on milk. But he's not saying to them, you'll always be on milk. You're just a milky, childish Christian. He says instead in chapter 6 and verse 1, therefore let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. Let us go on to maturity. Let's not be content with being children in understanding. Doesn't Paul say, be not infants in understanding. Be children in innocence, but not in understanding. No, have an appetite to learn. It's the right thing, the normal thing, a healthy thing for Christians. If disciples are to be taught, then of course they need a teachable spirit. What use is a good teacher without teachable pupils, teachable disciples? We're not talking here about a lack of ability. We're talking here about a lack of desire. If people will not listen, then they cannot be taught. That doesn't mean that we ignore, despise such people. We pray for them. We care about them. There are some who come into this building from time to time who don't want to learn. Do we make allowances for them? Yes, we do. Do we pray for them? Yes. Do we encourage them? Yes. What if after all that they just don't want to learn? What if somebody just will not listen, will not be taught? Well, there comes a time when we are metaphorically flogging the dead horse and can do no more. Sometimes people are indifferent. Sometimes they are hostile. Often when they are merely indifferent, there is a hostility that they are masking by their indifference. And the Bible knows that full well. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, he was to sell everything and come and follow me, and he would have true riches in heaven. The rich young ruler went away. Jesus did not go after him. Jesus was sent to Herod, you remember, by Pontius Pilate. Herod wanted to know all about Jesus' miracle-making ability. Show us some signs. Jesus did not waste any words on Herod. Herod had no kind of teachable attitude. He wanted a magical performance. The disciples were told by our Lord, if they do not receive you in a town or village where you go, then shake off the dust from your feet when you leave them as a testimony against them. And then later on, Paul and his companions from city to city went first to the synagogues, to the Jews. But when these Jews did not receive their words, they did exactly the same thing, shook off the dust from their feet and went on to the Gentiles. Now I want to ask you a question this morning. Before we think about those who are outside, for whom we are, I hope and trust, profoundly concerned, are you teachable? Are you teachable? Are you serious about engaging your mind with Christian truth? That should be my own personal prayer before I begin to sit down and think of preparing a sermon. If I come here and speak off the top of my own understanding and my own opinions, and I just deliver what I've believed for years because I happen to believe it, that'll do no one any good. It won't do me or you any good at all. But do we come here ready to learn? Do we come with a Mary-like attitude? Do we come also praying for one another and praying for those who do come, that the Lord might open their eyes and open their hearts as he once opened Lydia's heart and made her able to receive the testimony of Jesus Christ? Go teach. But then let me go a little further, because what does it mean to be teachable? What does this teachable spirit look like? What is the inner heart of a Christian disciple? So I expand my point and say, go teach disciples. Go teach, that is, so as to make disciples. How are disciples taught? What is the mindset? What is the inner attitude of the disciples that Jesus is wanting to bring to that maturity? Do you and do I fit these biblical descriptions? Well, what does Jesus say in verse 20? He says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Peter, Andrew, James, John, and the remaining disciples, you are to go and teach others to keep my words. The